As we continue our study through the Gospel of Luke, this morning we come to another very familiar passage. It was the parable of the Good Samaritan in our last sermon. Today it's the account of Jesus' interaction with the sisters Mary and Martha. If you haven't already, please turn to Luke chapter 10 and we'll take our reading from verse 38 through to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we ask now in the name of your Son Jesus that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand the text of Scripture before us. Pray that he would grant to us illumination in our minds and conviction in our hearts. We just commit ourselves into your care, knowing that at all times you have our best interests in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I suspect some of us, whenever we hear this story, have what we might call the yes but response. Yes, I understand what Jesus was saying, and of course he was right, but wasn't Martha just trying to be a good host? Wasn't she working hard to serve the Lord? Wasn't she right to feel aggrieved by her sister just a little bit? Some of us have this inclination to stick up for Martha, and we have sympathy for her. Maybe we even identify with Martha. We know what it's like to work hard while others don't seem to be doing very much. And there have been many occasions where we've felt like saying something similar to what she said. Now, while some of us might have this response, it's clear that Martha's reaction to what was happening in her house was inappropriate. Not only did Jesus refuse her request, he didn't tell Mary to get up and help her. He gently dealt with her attitude. Now, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, this raises a very interesting question. What did Martha get wrong? What was her mistake? What prompted Jesus to speak to her in the way he did? This is what I want us to think about this morning, but before we get to that, I want to consider three words in the text that help explain why Martha reacted this way. We'll get to the what question a bit later on. Now, what did Martha get wrong? First of all, we're going to think about the why question and three important words. The first word is in verse 40. It's the word cumbered about. Now, obviously, that's two words, but it's a translation of just one word in Greek, and Luke penned this account in Greek. Now, this is not an expression we commonly use today. I don't think I've ever described anyone as being cumbered about. It sounds like they're wearing a very thick belt or something like that. The Greek word literally means to draw around. Here it's in the passive voice, so it refers to a person being drawn around, being pulled one way and then another and then another. Most modern translations translate this word distracted. Martha was distracted with much serving, and that's a good word. But this Greek word refers to something a bit more than that. You know, it's more than just a look over there or let me click on that. It's not that kind of distraction. This means she was being pulled in different directions at the same time. She was cumbered about much serving. And I think we know what that looked like. The stove, the table, the plates, the cups, the guest room. She was chopping and stirring and washing and dusting and setting and adjusting. You know what it's like, don't you? You've had guests come into your house who you really wanted to honour and to bless, and you went to great lengths to get everything just right. Now, that was Martha in this scene. And I don't believe Luke was making a value judgment by describing her activity with this word. He was simply telling the story. He was simply accurately relating what was happening. There is nothing wrong with being cumbered about. Nothing wrong with being busy in this way. Indeed, I think it's safe to say that Martha was rushing about for all the right reasons. She was well intentioned. Martha loved Jesus. Martha believed in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. We know that from John chapter 12. She wanted to honour and bless Jesus as best she could when he came into her house. The second word I want to draw your attention to is in verse 41. It's a word Jesus used in his reply. It's the word careful. Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Now, that wasn't a compliment. What Jesus was saying was, Martha, Martha, you are full of care. Merimnes in Greek. It's the same word that Paul uses in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Today we call this being anxious. Now, perhaps it's rare, but I think it does happen that we're cumbered about. We're busy rushing around doing this and that. We're pulled in different directions as we're trying to accomplish some goal we have. And yet as we work, as we serve, as we attend to this, that and the other, inside, we're calm. We're busy, but we're not worried. To use a modern phrase, we're not freaking out. That wasn't Martha. She was cumbered about much serving and she was anxious. Inside, she wasn't calm. And we know how anxiety operates, don't we? And what about this? What about that? What if that happens? What if Jesus doesn't like what I've cooked? What if the guest room isn't clean enough? What if we ask him a question that's too personal? What if we upset him? Oh yes, that's probably what's going to happen. We're going to upset him and he'll never visit us again. What if? What if? What if? Imagine the worst, expect the worst. That's how anxiety operates. Not only was Martha cumbered about and careful, there is a third word for us to consider. Again, it's in Jesus' reply. It's the word troubled. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. And not over a handful of things, but about many things. Now, the word Luke uses here occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. It's the word terbazo, and if you get a kick out of etymology, you'll appreciate this. The terb part of our English word disturb comes from this Greek word. And the root idea is that of a crowd in tumult. And we've seen this many times on our television screens. Think of a protest that's getting raucous and even violent. Think of the colour, the movement, the noise. That's the sense of this word. This is a person who is agitated. Most of the scholars I read suggest that this is a reference to the visible manifestation of Martha's internal struggle. Inwardly, she was anxious, and outwardly, she was agitated. And again, this is not hard for us to imagine. We've all been here. We know what it's like. We were being eaten up inside by worry and it began to show. We became a bit frantic and frustrated and short-tempered. This is when people say, whoa, he's a bit stressed out. She's on edge about something. You better keep your distance. Let's not think that Martha in this story was way off. Let's not think that she was in such a state that we can't identify with her. We've been like she was, probably more times than we can remember. Cumbered about, careful, and troubled. That was Martha on this particular day that Jesus came to her house. And I think this explains, or at the very least provides some context to what she said when she saw her sister sitting at Jesus' feet. And while it wasn't right, it was understandable. I mean, who are we to condemn her? Chances are we would have reacted in exactly the same way. Martha was busy, she was worried, she was stressed out, and she saw what her sister Mary was doing or not doing, and blah! These words just tumbled out of her mouth. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now back to our original question. What exactly did she get wrong? We can understand the build-up to this interaction. We can sympathise with her frustration, and I think we can even recognise her good intentions, but what was her mistake? Why did Jesus gently rebuke her? Well, it wasn't because she was serving Jesus and wanted to do an excellent job. It wasn't because she was busy serving Jesus, and we mustn't interpret this story that way. We mustn't interpret this story such that we downgrade the value of service for Christ and elevate the significance of fellowship with Christ. That's not the message here. That's not the message Jesus was communicating. Now, it's true that Christians can become so involved with serving Jesus that they neglect their devotional life. That happens, and that's a problem, but that's not what this story is about. And properly understood, those two aspects of the Christian life are not in tension with each other. They're not in competition. They go together. There's no such thing as a Martha Christian and a Mary Christian, and this story is about being more of a Mary Christian than a Martha Christian. No. And if you've heard this story taught that way, then you've been misled. That's more in line with the approach that medieval Roman Catholic theologians took in interpreting this passage. They used it to teach that work is good, but the contemplative life in the monastery is better. Now, it's more spiritual to cloister yourself away and spend all your days in prayer and Bible reading, you know, sitting, as it were, at Jesus' feet like Mary did. Martha wasn't wrong in her commitment to serving Jesus. There was nothing blameworthy in her being busy for Jesus' sake. In fact, it was admirable. So what was it? What was her mistake? In my study, I came across one sentence in a paragraph of commentary on this passage, and it sort of unlocked this whole story for me. And I'll read it to you, and maybe it will have the same effect on you. And I quote, "It was just as if one were to give a magnificent reception to a prophet and yet not care about hearing him. It was just as if one were to give a magnificent reception to a prophet and yet not care about hearing him." Now, I don't think this was Martha's intention, but this is what happened. In her loving zeal to serve Jesus, she missed the point. Jesus was there in her house to have a meal with her and her sister. She had received him into her house for that purpose. Now, you didn't need a PhD in theology or in human behaviour to work that out. It was pretty simple. But Martha worried herself into forgetting that. And that's what Jesus reminded her of in his reply, verse 42. "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Now, I'm here to have a meal with you, and Mary gets that. Mary has chosen the good part. Now, that word "part" can also be translated "portion." And in this context, I think there is something of a play on words. Jesus was alluding to the meal that was being laid on the table. He was alluding to the good portion, the best serving, the choicest cut of meat. Think of Benjamin when he sat at Joseph's table in Egypt. Genesis chapter 43, verse 34. And he, that's Joseph, took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. Benjamin received the good portion. Think of Elkanah and Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. When the family went to the tabernacle and sat down for the sacrificial meal, Elkanah gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. Now the best part of the animal that had been cooked, or perhaps a larger portion of that meat, it was the good part he gave to his beloved Hannah. Jesus, as he did so often and so masterfully, used something from common life, something from his immediate environment to illustrate his point. He was there to have a meal with these sisters. Mary understood that and chose the good part, the choicest portion, and what was that? It was Christ himself. And that would not be taken from her. Jesus wasn't going to order Mary into the kitchen to help her sister. And interestingly, a careful reading of the text suggests that perhaps Mary had already helped her sister. She had assisted in preparing the meal, and now she was sitting at Jesus' feet. Jesus wasn't going to tell her to move away from where she was. And in truth, her sister Martha needed to stop being so anxious about all of the arrangements, come out of the kitchen and sit with Jesus too. Whatever had been prepared would be sufficient. And in any case, it wasn't really about the meal on the table. It was about the man at the table. He was the good part. He was the one needful thing. Perhaps you've seen the title I've given to this sermon. It's there in the order of worship. I've called it Worrying Yourself Away from Jesus. That's what Martha did. She worried herself away from where she should have been. She worried herself into missing the point of inviting Jesus into her home. It was to have him there and to experience his presence and his fellowship. And what I think is particularly relevant about her example is that underlying her anxiety were good intentions. She meant well. Her anxiety was not driven by sinful desires. It was not driven by selfishness or by greed. What she wanted to do was admirable. It was good. It was righteous. And oftentimes that's how it is for God's people. Perhaps that's how it is for you. You want good things. You're trying to do the right thing. You want the best for your children. You want to provide for them and protect them, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You want to serve others. You want to help them and bless them. You want to do a good job in every sphere of life. You mean well, but as you get busy, as you're inevitably pulled this way and that way, you start to worry, you start to churn inside, and a little bit of worry becomes a whole lot of anxiety. Now, what if, what if, what if? You imagine the worst, you expect the worst, and you forget that Jesus, your Saviour, the Lord of heaven and earth, is with you. He's at your table. And you forget that the life you're living is all about him, it's for him, it's empowered by him. You forget that. And inwardly you find yourself far away from him. And your demeanour and your behaviour starts to look like Martha's. You become agitated, frustrated, short-tempered and dissatisfied. Do you know what I'm talking about? And maybe this is where you find yourself this morning. Now, as God's people, the good part, the good portion is right there for us to partake of. Christ is with us. And from him there is strength, peace, wisdom and joy freely available. Indeed, Christ desires to give it to us. Come unto me, all ye that are labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, sit at my feet. Come, sit at the table I have prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. The medical establishment tells us that anxiety is a growing problem in our society. According to one source, 14.4% of Australians aged 16 to 85 have experienced an anxiety disorder in the last 12 months. This is equivalent to 2.71 million people today. That's a significant number, isn't it? We have more information about our lives than ever before and more control, and yet perversely, more people seem to be anxious. I can't figure that out. Now, I firmly believe that for some people, they have a particular struggle with anxiety, and it has to do with trauma they've experienced, or it has to do with their biology. I believe that for some people, even for Christians, anxiety is a mental health issue, and part of the solution is the treatment provided by those with expertise in that particular field. But that said, how much of our worry and our anxiety has to do with our failure to choose the one needful thing? A failure to partake of the good portion that is always before us. Now, we're stressed out because we've forgotten Jesus. Or because on most days, Jesus barely gets any of our time and attention. We don't pray. We don't think about him. We don't read and ruminate on his word. And we're told very plainly in Scripture to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're told to draw near to him, to cast all our care upon him, and he will lift us up. But we don't do that. Instead, we worry ourselves away from Jesus, and because we move away from Jesus, our worrying gets worse. We sink deeper and deeper into the pit. I'll be very plain with you this morning. This is a message for me. Now, too often I'm like Martha in this story. I get busy and I worry and I end up frustrated and dissatisfied, and occasionally what's going on inside breaks out and I respond to situations and to people in ways that I shouldn't. I need to learn to stop and say to myself, hold on a minute, Jesus. Jesus. I need to speak that blessed name to myself and remind myself that Jesus is here. Jesus is at my table. This life I'm living, this ministry, it's about him, and he's enough for me. Jesus is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Jesus has got everything covered. It's all in his hands. Now, I need to stop and preach that little sermon to myself because I have the tendency to worry myself away from Jesus. And it's awful when that happens. I am robbed of strength and joy and contentment. Maybe I'm not alone. Maybe you too struggle in this way. In the first half of the 18th century, there was a lady in Germany by the name of Katharina von Schlegel. And she lived in what was known as a Damenstift. These were often former Catholic convents that after the Reformation were converted into secular convents where unmarried or widowed noble women lived. And they probably lived a kind of religious life. And we don't know very much about this lady. She was probably born in 1697. She lived in a little city called Cothen. Her name suggests that she may have been from the nobility. But what we do know for sure is that she was a very talented hymn writer. And one day in around 1750, in that setting, she penned these words. Words that I think press home God's message for us this morning. This is what we have to do every day, or else worry and anxiety will drive us away from our Lord Jesus and from his grace. Of course, she wrote in German, so we have her words in English translation. You probably know them. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. That's true, isn't it? That's what we need to say to ourselves. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. The Lord is with you. Why are you so anxious? You don't need to be. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Amen.